Oh, I'm going to tell you how to defeat the misinformation mobs today. No April Fools.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
There is never a dull moment here on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, so blessed to be with you. Welcome, welcome to the broadcast. The end of the show yesterday, second hour, about 15, 20 minutes to go. Our engineering studio, which is separate from our radio studio, they're in different locations. There is a complete power outage there. Knocked out all the phones, knocked out the computer connection. We switched to our backup system, and we're floating along without a hitch until, with a few minutes left in the broadcast, that system went, the backup battery went because it was powering everything. And suddenly, the last 10 minutes of the second hour of the show, you were hearing my voice, but a very different broadcast. And phone lines are still out. I'm live. Everything is great. We are blessed. You're going to be encouraged. You're going to be informed. You're going to be equipped. You're going to be helped today, I assure you. But we can't take your calls, at least right yet, so I'm not going to give the number out. But I am delighted to be with you as ever, your listener-sponsored voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. live, joyfully so. All right, it's April 1st, and it struck me today that some of the real news headlines that are out there, genuine news headlines that are not pranks, seem like April Fools, seem like somebody's joking, seem like somebody's making things up. Even our ongoing dealings with Iran, when the supreme leader of Iran is saying, yes, death to America, of course, just a few days ago in a major speech, and one of his militia army leaders is saying, yes, wiping out Israel is non-negotiable for us. And we're sitting across the table talking through, you know, arrangements and what they can keep developing in terms of nuclear arms or possibility of nuclear arms. And it seems unreal, doesn't it? It really seems unreal. But it's happening. The good news is Jesus is Lord. The good news is God is not worried. The good news that is in him, we can keep our heads above the water. But in this first hour, beginning the very next segment, I want to talk to you about how to defeat the misinformation mobs that have risen up so forcefully, based around untruths, based around falsehoods, and before you know it, public policies changing, perceptions are changing. How do we defeat the misinformation mobs? Before I get to that, someone posted this on our YouTube channel. It's very telling that when asked, Dr. Brown gets asked a question as to why he promotes books that teach contrary to six-day creation over the plain teaching of Scripture, rather than give a straight, honest answer, is challenged. Mr. Brown or a member of his team simply remove the question, caps, from their Facebook page. First, it's complete nonsense. There are thousands, no, tens of thousands of posts of comments on our social media pages and website pages that are totally contrary to what we believe, teach, from people from all backgrounds, every kind of imaginable question. Unless someone violates guidelines and engages in ugly personal insult or uses profanity, and one of us happens to spot it, then it gets pulled or the person might get blocked. It's also arrogant to say that if I don't necessarily believe that the 6 days in Genesis are literal 24-hour days, I don't believe what Genesis teaches. Of course I believe what Genesis teaches. Whatever God says is what I believe. And if it's six literal days, then that's what I believe. I'm just saying the text is not explicit on that from my study as a Hebrew scholar. But in any case, Mr. Brown, you claim to make a stand and offer in the filing line, yet you cowardly not only fail to answer it, remove any existence of the questions from Christians when it shows your teaching is wrong. I, for one, will never listen to any more of your teaching, as you have no integrity as far as I'm concerned. Now go ahead and remove this also, coward. Actually, we removed it. Why? Because it engaged in personal insult and invective. If you learn how to be civil, sir, we'd gladly entertain your criticism. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, blessed and delighted to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH. What do I mean by the misinformation mobs? I spoke about it yesterday. I want to speak about it again today, but I want to explain how we can defeat the misinformation mobs. Arkansas yesterday passed a bill similar to the Indiana bill, similar to a bill passed by 19 other states, similar to the bill passed, was it 97-3 in 1993, a bill signed by President Clinton, a bill that was introduced by, among others, Senator Ted Kennedy, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, known as RFRA, R-F-R-A. And it simply gives guidelines to balance out issues having to do with discrimination against religion or religious beliefs, gives balance to the courts to weigh things. That's simply what it does. And it has been reiterated now that that can apply to individuals or that can apply to businesses. Nothing new or radical about it in that respect. What is new and radical is the level of attack that is coming against it. And you'll hear some of that attack today. The attack was so extreme. The attack was so over the top, hysterical, in my words, that Governor Pence felt it was necessary in Indiana to have a special press conference yesterday and wearily and resignedly say, we're going to fix this. We're going to clarify this. This was never meant to discriminate. Well, it is meant to protect against discrimination, namely against discrimination based on someone's religious beliefs. It had nothing to do with can you serve someone. A Jew walks into a restaurant owned by a Christian. Can you refuse that person's service because they're Jewish? The bill was never about that. The bill was never about here's a gay man who's in a car accident and you're an EMT driving the ambulance and you know that person is gay because they live in your neighborhood and you refuse to put them in the ambulance. It was never about that. No such cases are being reported. That was not the question. The question was if someone's rightly held religious beliefs, so you'd have to justify this on some level before the courts, if this rightly held or long held religious belief or deeply held religious belief is now put under pressure and there is no way around this. There is no convenient way around this. And the government is unduly burdening someone to go against their conscience. So let's say you're a Muslim baker and you're asked to bake cakes with images of Muhammad, which are in direct contradiction to your religion. Let's say you are a Jewish caterer and are asked to provide pork for a wedding. Let's say you are a Christian photographer and you are asked to shoot a same-sex, quote, wedding ceremony. Well, those things would deeply infringe on your religious beliefs and your personal conscience. Can you be required to do this by the law, by the government? This bill would say, here are guidelines to help the judges weigh this matter out and to make sure that people are not discriminated against because of religious beliefs, unless there is some provable government necessity to do these things. So the misinformation mobs will rise up. Again, my term, just started using it yesterday. The misinformation mobs will rise up and immediately seek to discredit and defame, to mischaracterize, to spread falsehoods. And based on those falsehoods, whole movements are birthed. I'll give you an example. Hands up, don't shoot. Hands up, don't shoot. Have there been instances of police brutality in the past? Of course. Have there been instances where young black men were killed by mistake because they were black and they were suspected to be suspects by police and they were wrongfully gunned down? Yes. Is there suspicion from the black community towards the police in many parts of America? Yes. And is that suspicion sometimes grounded in reality? Yes. All those things were true. But what was not true was the idea that Michael Brown, my namesake, 18-year-old Michael Brown, was gunned down in cold blood while shouting out, hands up, don't shoot, turning towards the police with his hands up. Or actually, initially, with hand turned away from the police. That, we know, according to all reports, is not true. Now, remember, if there was anyone in America that wanted to find this true, in my humble opinion, if there was anyone in America who wanted to find this hands up, don't shoot narrative true, it would have been Eric Holder in the Department of Justice. And in fact, they came out with a very negative report about alleged racism within the Ferguson Police Department. However, when it came to the specific narrative, they said, their findings said it was not true. It was based on lies from a witness, one particular witness. Others may have said the same thing, but one particular witness is the real source of this. It's a myth. I'm not saying there hasn't been police brutality. I'm not saying that there's not a reason that many black Americans have been suspicious of the police force. I'm not saying any of that is false. What I am saying is that this narrative was false. But it instantly, in these days of social media and viral YouTube and headlines just getting out and reports spreading before there's any substance to it, suddenly you have this misinformation mob. Everybody is repeating the same story. And before you know it, it has spread across the globe. There's a quote from Winston Churchill that truth has gotten halfway around the world. Lies have gotten halfway around the world before truth has gotten its pants up. Well, in fact, here's the exact quote: lies going halfway around the world before the truth has a chance to get its pants on. I've rephrase that to say a misleading soundbite gets halfway around the world before the truth has a chance to get its pants on. That's what happened with the Indiana bill. The exact same thing happened with the Indiana bill, that the lies got out everywhere before the truth got its pants up. So how do we defeat the misinformation mob? Because it's not going away. None of this is going away. How do we defeat the misinformation mob? Let me give you some simple points. This will be coming out in article form tonight, 8 o'clock on WorldNet Daily, when my weekly column comes up there. Are you ready? I'm going to give you the principles quickly, and then I will expand on these as we go on. First, this is how we defeat the misinformation mobs. First, we prepare in advance for the onslaught, which surprisingly Governor Pence says he was not expecting. Being forewarned is being fore-equipped. Being forewarned is being fore-equipped. So you know before you take your stand for what's right that you are going to be opposed from certain angles. You know before you take your stand for what's right that a certain onslaught is coming. So you prepare for it in advance. This is how we defeat the misinformation mobs. Number two, we get our talking points in order ahead of time, putting out a barrage of truth, tweetable truth, if possible, before the misinformation mobs can gather. All right, so we get our talking points out first in digestible form, in clear form, in definite form, in quotable form, even in tweetable form, if possible, so 140 characters or less for some of our key points. We get them out first, before the misinformation mobs gather. Third, we do our best to anticipate the falsehoods and exaggerations that we'll be confronted with, undermining them with our truthful talking points and having prepared ready responses to the lies. So we know there's going to be an onslaught. We have our talking points together. We anticipate what the other side is going to say in terms of falsehoods and exaggerations. And we already have undermined them with our truthful talking points, and we have already prepared responses for the lies. Fourth, we determine to weather the initial storms that will surely come when we do what is right, knowing that ultimately truth will triumph. It's almost like a sports event where you know the opponent is going to come out with full energy and really try to just knock you off quickly, just so get so many points on the board or hit so hard that suddenly you're, you know, the wind is taken out of you and you don't recover. So we know there's going to be an onslaught and we are prepared to get through it. And then fourth, we remember this. I gave you fourth. We remember what Paul wrote. We could do nothing against the truth, but only for the truth. Misinformation mobs are powerful, but they can and must be defeated.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You will never get me, my family, my friends, or anybody who I know who's social justice or civic-minded to agree with a bill that brings Jim Crow back to Indiana.
That's right.
Okay, that was a perfect example. A perfect example of misinformation. That was a perfect example of complete nonsense having nothing whatsoever to do with reality. No possible comparison whatsoever between Jim Crow laws and the RFRA bill, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, that was passed last week by Indiana and yesterday by Arkansas. No connection between the two whatsoever. Does it matter? No. Keep putting out falsehoods. Why worry about truth when truth is inconvenient? Why worry about accuracy when accuracy hurts your cause? That's the mentality of the misinformation mob. This is the day we're living in, friends. And we have to have patience. We have to have perseverance. We have to have confidence. And we have to have our plan in order. 866-348-7884. I'm giving out the phone's number because back in our main engineering studio, after a power outage knocked out everything yesterday, our phone lines are up and running. So if you'd like to weigh in on the subject today, 866-348-7884. Let me give you an example of something here. All right. Let's go to Arkansas. Clip number 14. When this is being reported, the words religious freedom are being put in quotes as if this is really not about religious freedom at all. And of course, that's what the issue is. But let's just take a listen to what's getting put out, what people are hearing, what I mean again by misinformation mobs. Clip number 14.
It's going to want the younger people in Arkansas not to stay in Arkansas.
Yeah.
It's going to drive us out.
I've been told that this bill is set to protect people like me, the small business owner, so that I don't have to do something horrible like bake a cake for you guys.
It's horrible. It's an abomination. As somebody said the other day, it's a Governor Faubus moment.
Yeah.
Our state's most talented will soon leave if these are the messages that we continue to send.
Young people are going to leave the state. It's going to hurt small businesses. It is going to drive out the most talented, creative people. This is such bogus nonsense. Why don't we say instead that the vast majority of Americans don't think that's according to a recent poll that was sponsored by FRC and NRB, Family Research Council, National Religious Broadcasters, was 81% of those polled said that a business owner should not be forced to violate their personal beliefs on marriage as a business owner, to paraphrase what the poll asked. Why not put that on the table? Why not say this has nothing to do with who you serve and this has nothing to do with discrimination? Let me ask the question. Pornography is legal, right? Within certain parameters, pornography is legal. You have pornographic magazines that are for sale in different places. People can subscribe to them. The mailman delivers them. This is all legal. If you have the covers blocked a certain way, they can be sold in a convenience store. Pornographic TV stations, you know, cable, things like that. Actors, actresses doing things that's legal in America. We may find it morally reprehensible, but it's legal, correct? Okay, so someone comes to you. You're a videographer, all right? You're a Christian videographer. And they say, listen, we're shooting this low-budget porn movie. We can't go the normal Hollywood way, but we hear that you are a terrific low-budget videographer, and we'd like to hire you. Oh, no, thank you. I appreciate the comment, but I can't do that. It violates my beliefs to shoot pornography. Now, have you discriminated against those porn producers? You say, well, that's extreme. Well, why is that extreme? Why is it any more extreme than saying that marriage is the union of two men or two women? Historically, that statement is more extreme. That statement is more radical. That statement is more different. What if someone came to you and you're a let's say you go to some gay Christian church, okay? And they come to you and say, listen, we're a Muslim family. And we even though it's not legal now, our mosque is going to do a commitment ceremony. I'm here with my four wives from Tunisia, and we're going to do a commitment ceremony for all four, because the government here only recognizes one. And we hear you're a great videographer. You go to, quote, a gay Christian church, and we'd love for you to shoot our ceremony. Oh, no, sorry. I believe marriage is a union of two people. It's got to be a man and a woman, or two men or two women. I don't believe in polygamy. Is that discrimination against the Muslim? Or is that someone, and I use the gay Christian example on purpose here, is that someone holding to a particular religious belief and they should not be coerced into violating that? The RFRA bill gives guidelines to the courts to help them sort through these types of issues and to make sure there is a fair balance on behalf of the religious people. Because freedom of religion is a fundamental right in America. 866-34-TRUTH is the number to call if you'd like to weigh in. Truth is going to triumph, friends. Stay with this. Truth is going to triumph. And let me say, if it's any encouragement to you, I and others have been warning about these things for years. I and others have been warning about these things for years. You say, why should that encourage you? Because we knew it was coming, and God laid it on our hearts to sound the alarm. God's also laid it on my heart to tell you to be strong and hang in there for the long haul. And remember that Jesus is risen and Jesus is Lord. So whichever way society goes for a season does not affect what is most important and eternal. All right, I am really excited about this. We are offering again, maybe the most popular item we've ever offered. We are offering once again the beautiful family edition. I mean, high quality, beautiful. People are telling me it's way beyond what they're expecting. Beautiful new translation with Messianic Jewish sensitivities. The Tree of Life version of the Bible. It's a $70 value for this beautifully produced Bible with beautiful artwork within and beautiful production through and through. When you order it this week, as we celebrate the death and resurrection of Jesus, we'll not only pay the postage, but we'll give you free one of the most classic debates I've ever been involved with my friend Rabbi Shmuley. Who really killed Jesus? We'll give you that for free as well. This is great savings. Call or order 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. Once more, 1-800-278-9978, or order directly from AskDrBrown.org. You can watch your video about the Bible there, too.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Bill Osterly is the CEO of Angie's List and a big Republican donor.
We're completely opposed to this measure. We want to see it. We want to see it repealed, or we want to see changes to the Civil Rights Code. And that's because we have our chief asset is our people.
Ah, American Family Association is calling for a boycott of Angie's List. I've never used Angie's List, but apparently it's tremendously important, useful, helpful for millions of Americans. And because of that, as a high-profile company where the CEO comes out with a misinformation statement, part of the misinformation mob, am I saying he's intentionally deceiving? No, my assumption is he believes the misinformation and is spreading it. AFA has called for a boycott. You say, yeah, but I use it a lot. Well, why not send a message? Now, yesterday, someone raised the issue of economic terrorism, that when Tim Cook, CEO of Apple, when other companies say they're not going to do business in Indiana, or they're calling for change, or their governors like Governor Cuomo of New York banning, that's just the most absurd, ridiculous, inane stuff, banning all state-funded travel. So if the state's paying for it and it's non-essential travel to Indiana, you're banned from traveling there for simply passing a bill that mirrors. Look, President Clinton said it was a miracle from God, Republicans and Democrats joining together in 1993 to pass the bill 97-3. And the bill in Indiana mirrors that. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. So you put out the misinformation, and then you spread the economic terrorism. Well, isn't it economic terrorism when we respond in kind? If we're simply saying, please stay out of the culture wars, I would say there's a difference. When someone engages in the culture wars, now they are asking for a response. We're simply saying, please stay out of the culture wars. So I want you to consider sending a message to Angie's List, because it seems that it's making an impact, and I think you get 100% plus refund on your annual subscription. And you could just politely say, because the CEO is seeming to support anti-religious discrimination, that you cannot in good conscience use Angie's List. They'll offer you a 25% discount to stay on. Politely decline it. You can write in, you can call in, and say if they reverse themselves, you'll be very glad to use their business again. Send them a message and say, please stay out of the culture wars. Let's listen to what Mark Levin has to say about this bill. Joey, clip number 22, as he weighed in on his radio show about why the bill, as originally written, was perfectly fine.
If somebody doesn't want to serve a gay couple at their wedding, food or cater it, or they don't want to bring flowers, they don't want to be the florist at the wedding, and they can demonstrate that it substantially burdens their free exercise of religion. In other words, I would have to demonstrate that in court. They can't just come up with, hey, look, I'm a Catholic and I oppose. No, you'd have to do more. That would be something for the court to adjudicate.
Right, and that's what the bill is about, making sure that things can go rightly before the court, and the court now has ways to weigh this out and balance different concerns. That's what RFRA is about. Friends, you know what I see going on here? I see Psalm 2. I see Psalm 2 in action in our society again. You say, what do you mean by that? I'll explain on the other side of the break. Hey, how do you feel about the call to boycott Angie's List? Based on the CEO of Angie's List blatantly coming against Indiana's Religious Freedom Bill. Think that's a good thing to do, a Christian thing to do? 866-342.
Send it, Lord.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
The notion that a corporation has a faith is stunning to me. And the only reason they want it to have a faith is so that it can deny service to people.
That was Representative Ed Delaney on the Ed Schultz show on MSNBC talking about comment by Ryan Anderson, who we'll hear from in a moment, also on the Ed Schultz show, explaining what the Religious Freedom Restoration Act was about and is about in the updated version in that was passed in Indiana. The idea that you can be a Christian-owned or a Muslim-owned or a Jewish-owned business, why is that so astonishing that a corporation can have a faith? Here, you ever heard of B&H Photo? It is the premier photo photography store in America and perhaps in the world. I don't know. It is owned by Orthodox Jews. Every so often, we will get a catalog in the mail from B&H, and it's hundreds and hundreds of pages thick. When you go into the store, because when you get it, it's just a catalog. When you go into the store, if you've never been in Manhattan, it's massive, and it has this unbelievable setup with there's stuff going on behind the scenes you can't see. When you order, by the time you get over to pay, you're on a line to pay, and you've whatever your stuff has just gone through boxes through this thing and come down these chutes and come out here. And they've got this massive, massive, massive operation with things going out. The mail order is just absolutely massive. But what surprises you when you go in there is that the great majority of the employees are Orthodox Jews, Orthodox Jewish men. The salesmen, and they're famous for their absolute in-depth knowledge of any of the products that they sell. Famous for that. So it's a massive store that does an unbelievable amount of business. And it closes Friday early afternoon and through Saturday. It's closed on Saturday. You say, but this is New York. It's closed on Saturday because that's the Sabbath, and it's closed on Jewish holy days, and it does a massive amount of business. Why? Because they're religious Jews. They have certain faith, so they close on Saturdays and Jewish holidays and part of Friday for the Sabbath. And Chick-fil-A closes on Sunday, as do some other Christian-owned businesses. Why is that so astonishing to hear? Why is that so difficult to grasp? Wow, 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 once again. So I mentioned Psalm 2 at the end of the last hour. As we talk about defeating the misinformation laws, my newest article that'll be up tonight around 8 o'clock Eastern time. And if you're not connected with me on Facebook or Twitter, just connect with us. Do it through the website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Facebook icon, the Twitter icon, and to receive our weekly email updates and special announcement updates, just click on the email icon. The YouTube icon to subscribe to our YouTube channel there, our videos there. So make sure you connect it. We're putting out material that edify you, bless you, encourage you, strengthen you, challenge you, stretch you through the day, through the night, to be a blessing to you. And it's all free to connect in these different ways. Thanks to our torchbearers, our monthly supporters, and our generous one-time givers. That's how we're able to do all this to help so many of you without charging for these services or charging to subscribe for our podcast or charging to listen to all of our shows online, as many do. Our privilege and joy to do that. But I mentioned earlier Psalm 2. This is really what is happening in our society. What do I mean? What I mean is this. Psalm 2 asks the question, why do the nations roar? Why is there so much commotion? Why are the rulers in uproar? Well, they are saying that they want to cast off the Lord and his anointed one. They don't want Jesus as their Lord. They or in Old Testament terms, they don't want Yahweh as their God. They don't want the king in Jerusalem as their king. And that is really what is happening, the aggressive new atheist assault on God, the aggressive gay activist assault on religious liberties, the aggressive assault from the radical left on people of faith. It is saying we don't want God as our God. We don't want his rules. We don't want his standards. We don't want his values. I am not talking about imposing a theocracy on the world. Jesus will do that when he returns. He will impose a theocracy when he returns. And either people will bow to him or be destroyed. And they will bow to the God of life and liberty and freedom, not to a God of hatred and destruction. They'll bow to a God who brings life and freedom. Those who refuse him and rebel against him will be destroyed. And that's basically their death wish in doing so. But there is a spiritual principle going on right now. And that spiritual principle is this, that people are saying we don't want God as our Lord. And those of you who hold to biblical values, even in your own lives, you're going to pay dearly for it. So Ryan Anderson, who is one of the brightest, sharpest leaders, young leaders now in the pro-life, pro-family movement with the Heritage Foundation, he is on Ed Schultz. And I want you to hear some of the dialogue. I'll play a longer clip here. It's quite remarkable in terms of what transpires. But let's go to clip number 23, Ryan Anderson talking about the Indiana bill on Ed Schultz.
This law doesn't open the door for discrimination. This is the law that's been on the federal books, governing federal law and federal courts for over 20 years. And it governs over 30
okay,
states.
That's not true because
true.
It does not have the definition of person connected to a corporation. Would you agree?
Sure. No, it does. I mean, the federal RFRA, as the Supreme Court held, just last term that the definition of person in the federal RFRA includes corporate persons. Most churches are corporate persons. Most charities are corporations. So the idea that a Religious Freedom Restoration Act doesn't protect corporations really has very little basis in the law. The Federal Dictionary Act, which governs what federal terms mean, under the term person, it includes corporate persons. And there's no reason why you would think that if you're a corporate form, you can't exercise religion. So the good thing about this law,
Mr. Ryan, you're not a corporation. You're a human being.
Well,
now, you
I
may work for
MSNBC
a corporation, the rights of you far exceed that of a corporation. And this right now, if you connect the two, opens the door for blatant discrimination.
The New York Times has free press rights. It goes not just to each individual reporter, but to the institution. So in the same way, MSNBC has rights as a journalistic organization. In the same way, people who form organizations also have their religious liberty rights protected.
All right, so the discussion is going on, and you see Ryan Anderson is responding with facts. Ed Schultz is taking umbrage with these things. Ryan is responding with facts, with information, with details, with examples. So the discussion continues, clip number 24.
If a gay couple walks into a restaurant and I own it, you're telling me in Indiana, if I own that restaurant, I can tell them to get the hell out of here, and you don't think that's discrimination? That's the position of the right wing, correct?
I don't know anyone in this debate please point to names of people who are saying that restaurant owners should be kicking gays and lesbians out of their restaurants. You're demagoguing.
Well, that was the question that was put to your governor, and he couldn't answer it.
That was the very question that was put to your governor, and he did not answer it. The question that George Stephanopoulos put to the governor was
Mr.
much
Anderson,
more precisely questions
hold
than yours.
On a minute.
I think that's
Cut
really
his mic off. Cut his mic off.
Oh, is that clear? Cut his mic off. I don't want facts. Ed Schultz is saying, I don't want facts. I don't want truth. I don't want accuracy. I want to be able to misrepresent however in the world I misrepresent. What Ed Schultz said was patently false on several accounts. By the way, I've used the word patently three times recently. The first time I mispronounced it as patently. The second two times I have the other two times I have corrected myself, hence making sure I do that. As I said patently the first time, I thought, what did I say? Anyway, what Schultz said is patently false. Number one, that was not the question. Number two, nobody is supporting that. Number three, that's never been the issue. And number four, Governor Pence is not Ryan Anderson's governor. But why does that matter? When Ryan Anderson's going to respond with truth, what does Ed Schultz say? Cut the mic off. That's the only answer. That's the only answer of the misinformation mob. Cut the mic off. Well, we're going to keep talking. We're going to keep getting truth out. We are going to expose the lies. Stick around. May take time, but the lies will be exposed. And that which is built on lies will crumble. Crumble. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire, your voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Wall Street Journal, the paradox is that even as America has become more tolerant of gays, many activists and liberals have become ever more intolerant of anyone who might hold traditional culture or religious views. Again, Psalm 2, we don't want God as our God. Al Mohler, when it comes to the Religious Freedom Restoration Act adopted by the state of Indiana, piling on is, if anything, an understatement. We've been looking at the fact that it's been almost an entirely deliberate effort by many to mislead people about what this bill is about. Yes, misinformation mobs. If you missed it earlier, I explained how to defeat misinformation mobs. It'll be my newest article will be out tonight. I'll run through that again before the show is out. From National Review, if Republican politicians can't effectively defend a basic religious freedom law from a fundamentally misleading far-left attack, answering lies in fury with truth and firm conviction, then we need new Republican politicians. After all, your base stands with you. Your critics are largely not your voters. And even better, they're far more vulnerable than you are. Great points. Great points. 866-34-TRUTH. Let me grab one call from Calgary, Alberta in Canada. Nick, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown. It's great to finally talk to you. I've been listening to you for a long time now, and I've never remembered to call in until today.
Good for you. Well, thank you, Nick.
I also, just before I say my question, I'm a big fan of your books, and I reference them a lot. I'm a kind of a low-level blogger, but I always make sure I point people to your stuff, so just wanted to let you know that as well.
First, let me say thanks for doing that. And secondly, every voice makes a difference. First, you are being a voice, you're being a witness when you blog and get things out. So whatever circle of readership you have, that's positive. But then you never know how that can be quoted by someone else, how that can encourage someone else, how that can inform someone else. And then these days, something that you just innocently posted because you wanted to get something off your chest and put online, go viral. You never know. So if everybody just does their part and speaks out and gets the truth out within their own sphere, it will really make a great difference. But thanks for sharing that. Yes, to your question or point, Nick, go ahead.
I've heard you many times and it's not so much to take issue with you, but maybe a tactical tip that I've kind of toyed with myself. It's referring to the issue of traditional marriage, or a lot of times it gets couched in the terms of the Christian view of marriage. And I think it might be strategic, and maybe you correct me if I'm wrong, because you know more about this than me, but to not use the Christian definition of marriage as a term, because, for example, I think there's a really interesting conflict within our culture that it is both politically incorrect to disagree with same-sex marriage or the homosexual agenda, but it is also politically incorrect to criticize Islam. Now, unfortunately, that's bad news for the politically correct type, because Muslims are fiercely opposed to same-sex marriage, but nobody ever asks them, because they know what they're going to say, and rather than make the Muslims look bad, everything gets therefore doubled onto the Christians. I've never heard a Muslim school being approached with, a gay-straight alliance. I've never heard of Muslims being ask what their view is on same-sex marriage, because it's the Muslim countries that execute homosexuals, not Christian countries. So I'm interested what you're talking about.
Yeah, and it was pointed out that Tim Cook, for example, while lambasting Indiana and talking about discrimination in these other states, and it's an ugly wave. Here is the CEO of Apple, that they do business with countries that actually execute homosexuals. So the hypocrisy is quite glaring. Here's the thing, Nick. On the one hand, it's always good to bring in a wide range of examples. So I'll frequently do that. Jewish examples, Muslim examples, many will do that. I did earlier in the show today, for example, should a Muslim baker be forced to bake cakes with an image of Muhammad on them? And you try to go through all the scenarios, because it always ends up people agree until it comes to Christians participating in something having to do with same-sex so-called marriage ceremonies. So the discrimination, the animus is clearly going in one direction. And we'll often talk about Judeo-Christian values. I don't like to, but here's the point, though. On the one hand, I don't want to refer to this as traditional marriage, because not everything traditional is good. I want to refer to marriage as natural marriage, or organic marriage, or true marriage, or marriage as God intended it, any of those different ways. But that's a separate battle from the battle to stand against discrimination based on religion. In other words, in this particular case, it is an issue of standing against discrimination. And we need to emphasize it as such and say, we stand against discrimination based on religion, be it anti-Muslim, anti-Jewish, anti-Christian discrimination based on our view of marriage. So, excuse me, in that respect, it is important. The problem is that Muslims historically believe in polygamy. And there are politicians in England who believe that Muslims did not make a fuss about redefining marriage in England, because once it's redefined, it's going to be much easier for them to push for polygamy. So the strategies are important. You do raise good points that have to be thought through. And we have to have our talking points clearly in order. But when it does come to this bill, it does tie in directly with religious freedoms. And therefore, it's fine to say that Christians or Jews and Christians are being discriminated against. But by all means, encourage them to go to the local mosque as well and ask the Muslim leaders whether someone in their mosque should be forced by the government to participate in a same-sex, quote, wedding ceremony. Hey, Nick, got to run, but thanks for being a faithful listener. Much appreciated and great to talk to you today. So again, how do you defeat the misinformation mobs? First, we prepare in advance for the onslaught. Being forewarned is being forequipped. We know when we stand for what's right, there's going to be an onslaught against us. Second, we get our talking points in order ahead of time, putting out a barrage of truth, tweetable if possible, before the information mobs can gather. Third, we do our best to anticipate the falsehoods and exaggerations that we'll be confronted with, undermining them with our truthful talking points and having prepared ready responses to the lies. Fourth, we determine to weather the initial storms that will surely come when we do what is right, knowing that ultimately truth will triumph. The lies, the foundation of lies, will ultimately crumble. Be assured of it. It may take time, but it will happen. All right, take advantage of a very special offer, perhaps the most popular resource we've ever offered in our ministry's history, or certainly in recent months and years, the beautiful new edition of the Tree of Life version of the Bible. It's gorgeously prepared and manufactured. It's a great new translation. And when you get it this week, as we celebrate the death and resurrection of Jesus, as you get it this week, we'll pay the postage and also give you free my classic debate with Rabbi Shmuley, Who Really Killed Jesus? So call now to order as many copies as you want, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978, or order online at AskDrBrown.org. My bottom line today, it will take perseverance, it will take faith, it will take persistence, it will take clear-headedness, but the misinformation mobs will be defeated. So how do you maintain an attitude of victorious faith in the midst of moral and spiritual decline? I'll tell you today.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yesterday was one of those days. It was one of those days. From the morning when I got up, I just felt kind of this oppression and just there's so much going on in the news, kind of swarming around us, emails flooding in through the day, news updates, big issues going on in America and moral, cultural issues and things like that. But just spiritually, it was one of those battleground days. As always, we seek to bring you encouragement and faith and speak truth to embolden you and equip you here on The Line of Fire. And then, oh, about 45 minutes into this, the second hour of the broadcast, I hear just a slight change in the feed in my ear. And sure enough, we had to switch to our backup feed because the power went out in our engineering studios, which are in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. We have three distinct locations where we broadcast from, where I'm speaking to you right now, where the show is engineered in Winston-Salem, where the phones are answered, and then where the signal is transmitted from around the country, around the world, which is in Dallas, Texas. And I just heard something slightly different in my ear. Sure, meant we were on a backup system, and then found out all power went out in the engineering studio. We were on backup batteries. Because everything was running off that, we didn't make it to the end of the show. About 10 minutes left. I'm here talking, but I'm talking to nobody. I mean, literally, it's just me. I'm talking and doing the show and doing best radio I can do, and nobody could hear me except for me. Yeah, so we apologize if you suddenly switch to another show the last 10 minutes, but that's what happened. But we are here live with you right now, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. It is April Fool's, but what I just told you was no joke. And I tell you this, though. Some of the headlines, when you look at them, you think this is an April Fool's joke. So here, I'll give you. Here, this is posted on PalWatch.org, March 25th, 2015. This is a boy on Palestinian Authority TV. The goal is to boycott Israeli products and fight the Jews, kill them. Okay? We've got some clips I'll play for you later about that. And I know it's not Thoroughly Jewish Thursday, but this is all relevant to what we'll be talking about today. So this is what he says, okay? Goal is to boycott Israeli products and fight the Jews and kill them. Here's news from today. It's April 1st news. It is April 1st news. It's not April Fool's. This is actual news. Palestinian Authority becomes official member of International Criminal Court. No, not is being tried by the International Criminal Court, but is now an official member. Now, Israel isn't a member of the ICC, but its leaders could now face charges for alleged crimes on Palestinian Authority, according to the Associated Press and Reuters. No joke. Palestinian Authority has officially become a member of the International Criminal Court 2 months after signing its treaty and is marking the momentous occasion with a low-key ceremony at the court's headquarters. Palestinians signed the court's founding treaty in January, and it came into force Wednesday, an event welcomed by activists who see it as an opportunity to bring accountability to years of conflict between Palestinians and Israel. So they're the ones taking Israel to court before the International Criminal Court. If the ICC is anything like the UN, you can expect the Palestinians to go scot-free, complete exoneration, without the slightest accusations coming their way. And Israel will be condemned on just about a daily basis. Barely exaggerating there. Today, I've got some good news for you. How to maintain an attitude of faith and holy optimism in the midst of the insanity all around us.
God of light, hear our cry, send the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the... All right. Doesn't look like we have that Arabic clip. Let's play it right now, Joey, if you've got it. This is the voice of Khaled Meshaal, one of the key leaders of Hamas. He's speaking on BBC. This is reported April 1st, suitably enough. So 866-34-TRUTH, the number to call Michael Brown. Delighted to be with you. Let's go right to clip number 19.
Even in the eyes of the Americans and Europeans, Netanyahu is the most extreme leader and the one who likes to shed blood the most. That's why we're expecting difficult times with him. And it's the responsibility of the international community to put a stop to his stubbornness and Israeli extremism. We're not looking for any escalation, but we will defend ourselves.
So the extremist, the violent extremist, is Netanyahu, not the head of Hamas. This is April 1st, right? April 1st news. Talk about it. Let's just listen a little bit more to what he has to say. Clip number 20, as he continues speaking on BBC. I mean, is this irony or what, that this is reported on April 1st?
Now, in some of the statements put out by Mr. Netanyahu and others in Israel, they have associated the activities of Hamas with the activities of jihadist groups, like the group that calls itself Islamic State, and also like Al-Qaeda. They tend to put you all into the same category. What do you think when you hear that? Do you think that's a fair comment?
There is no Daesh, no IS, or Al-Qaeda in Palestine. There are some lone wolves, but they are isolated. We don't allow such thoughts in Palestine. The Palestinian people are in a movement for national liberation. It is a just cause, and it is certainly not terrorism. Quite the opposite. The Palestinians have been the victims of Israeli terrorism for decades. I condemn any side that is practicing extremism and killing based on identity or affiliation. We are an active resistance with a just cause battling the occupier. We have a moderate ideology and an open mind. Others practice violence under the name of jihad, which we condemn. And this is not Islam.
So in other words, to paraphrase what Khaled Meshaal said on BBC, our terrorism is justified. Our jihad is justified. Israel doesn't belong there. And therefore, when we kill Israelis, men, women, and children, when we blow them up, when we indiscriminately shoot missiles, when we kidnap soldiers, when we do what we do, it's not terrorism. It is not wrongful jihad. It is rightful jihad. The others are just doing it indiscriminately. We're doing it in a more targeted way because they're on our land. Therefore, we can drive them out, kill them, slaughter them, and it's perfectly fine. They are the terrorists. Welcome to the world of April Fools. It often feels like that's the world in which we live, where truth is turned upside down, where reality just becomes whatever you define it as. I mean, again, to remind you of conversations that I had with folks, protesters, before the vote in Charlotte, North Carolina, on the so-called anti-discrimination bill, which in reality would have discriminated against a multitude of people in the city of Charlotte, and those working there as well as those living there would have discriminated against a multitude of people in the name of anti-discrimination. But talking to people before the event, they're demonstrating, you know, transphobia's got to go. So I asked them for definition of. Of course, they didn't have a working definition that had any application to me. But now they're going to make it apply, because if I don't endorse their viewpoint and celebrate their viewpoint, then I'm going to be called transphobic. So I asked them, simple question, if I believe I'm a horse, does that mean I use the stable? Yes. You're not hurting anyone. I'm a white man. If I believe I'm black, am I black? Yes. I mean, this is insanity. This is no longer the realm of reality. If if I'm told by someone, a thinking young man, he was not foaming at the mouth. He was able to engage in a civil conversation in the midst of our dispute. When he tells me it is primitive, his word, primitive, and he was passionate about this, primitive to define gender by biology and chromosomes, that we have now somehow advanced to the point of gender being whatever you perceive it is. And that perception, of course, could change by the moment, by the hour. And it's primitive to say it's a boy, it's a girl based on biology and chromosomes. What world are we living in? I just read a story, and it's referred to cross-dressing men. And they were, let me just get to the actual story, the way it was phrased here. Dress-wearing man killed by NSA police had lengthy record. That's how it's referred to, okay? Two cross-dressing men, this is Associated Press reporting from Fort Meade, Maryland, two cross-dressing men who were fired upon by National Security Agency police when they disobeyed orders at a heavily guarded gate had just stolen a car from a man who had picked them up and checked into a motel, police said Tuesday. The FBI said the driver, Ricky Schwatza Hall, died at the scene, and his passenger remained hospitalized Tuesday with unspecified injuries. And then a police officer was treated for minor injuries and released. Okay, now, here's what we know. Two cross-dressing men were fired upon. One was killed. One was injured. That we know, right? Okay. And here's the man's name. Whoa. That report gets corrected pretty quickly or rephrased pretty quickly to say a transgender woman was shot. Because a man is wearing a dress, apparently a prostitute, from what I read, if I had that correct. A man is wearing a dress, therefore he's a transgender woman. What if he didn't have the dress on that particular day? Is he still a transgender woman, dressed as a man, masquerading as a man, even though he is a man? I would love to see people like that get help. I would love to see people like that find wholeness. I would love to see them live a life where, in this case, he's a prostitute, so that's demeaning and terrible for him either way. But I'd like to see where he doesn't have to put a dress on to find wholeness, because he's obviously not a woman. He's a man. No. Whatever he says he is. Could change by the day? Sure. Okay, so we're in this world of, it's just moral, social madness. No other way to describe it than moral, social madness. How do we keep our head above the water? How do we keep from just wanting to scream? How do we keep from getting so frustrated that we just drop out? How do we keep an attitude of faith without being unrealistic? How do we keep an attitude of confidence without engaging in cognitive dissonance and just completely denying reality? How do we do that? Hey, you can have a great attitude of faith and confidence that is pseudo-faith, pseudo-confidence, because it's just grounded in false optimism. Oh, Uncle Charlie will be just fine. Yeah, I mean, the doctors say he's only got 1 in 1,000 chances of living out the day, but, you know, Uncle Charlie always bounces back, and next thing you're at the funeral. Well, that was just a false optimism. That was just, I remember hearing when I was a boy about my aunt dying of a brain tumor, and they did perform surgery, and we were at the hospital, and I remember my dad talking to his brother about his sister-in-law, about my aunt, and whatever chances the doctor gave were bleak. I mean, maybe a 1 in 10 chance that she would survive or whatever it was. And I remember hearing that and thinking, well, she'll make it. I mean, if it's, as long as there's a chance, she'll make it. It's my aunt. Now, this wasn't coming from the perspective of a believer, but a boy who just is thinking that things have happy endings or that it's all going to work out. Well, tragically, she didn't make it. But there is a real faith grounded on truth that is unshakable. There is a real faith grounded on truth that is overflowing with confidence. That's why I can look at what's happening in the world. That's why I can feel the weight of it and the horror of it and the pain of it and the reality of it with there's so much suffering around the world and so many terrible things taking place and so much moral and social and spiritual confusion in the church and in the society. That's why I can look at that and not get discouraged, not get depressed, not lose hope, not lose my mind, and go on in confidence because the confidence is grounded in divine truths. When we come back, I want to lay out for you how to maintain faith and victory. How to maintain faith and victory in the midst of moral, spiritual chaos and crises all around. We'll be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
The CEO of Marriott, who obviously is an astute man and an astute businessman, and must be highly, highly educated in the world in which he lives. I mean, this is a big, big position, CEO of Marriott. According to him, Indiana's Religious Freedom Act is, quote, madness and idiocy. Sorry to say, it's his quotes that are madness and idiocy. Quote, the legislation in Indiana, and there are some big bills being considered in other states, it is not just pure idiocy. From a business perspective, and it is that, the notion that you can tell businesses somehow that they are free to discriminate against people based on who they are is madness. That is not what the bill is about. Does he genuinely not know it? In which case, he is not properly educated, or is he simply spreading the misinformation? Last hour, I talked about how to defeat the misinformation mobs. And this is Michael Brown, your voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the midst of a society in chaos and a church all too often in compromise. Last hour, we talked about that, how to defeat the misinformation mobs. My latest article, which will be coming out tonight, about 8 o'clock Eastern Time on WorldNet Daily, will deal with that very issue. So you'll get my points on that. This hour, I want to talk about how to maintain an attitude of faith, how to maintain an attitude of confidence in the midst of moral madness that surrounds us, in the midst of compromise that often floods our churches, in the midst of so much discouragement, negativity. How do we keep an attitude of faith, confidence? How do we keep an attitude of joy in the midst of these difficult, challenging times? I'm going to give you a bunch of points. If you miss any of them, just go online later, perfectly free, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. And you will be able to listen to the entire show. Okay, I just hit the wrong button on my device here with all of my notes. Ah, here we go, my Sony digital paper device. First thing, and I'm going to give you, I don't know, 5 6, a little bit more depending on how I break them down. How to keep an attitude of faith and victory. First thing, get above the details. Keep your head above the details. We all know the story about Simon Peter when Jesus is walking on the water in Matthew 14. And it's nighttime, the waves are heavy. They see Jesus walking and think it's a ghost, it's a spirit. What in the world? What's going on? Well, it's Jesus. And Peter being Peter says, Lord, if that's really you, tell me to come out of the boat and walk on the water. Not exactly the most logical thing to say. Perhaps it would have been better to say, Lord, if that's really you, stop the waves. Or if that's really you, let us know, show us somehow. But he speaks first and perhaps thinks later, as I and many others have often done. Jesus says, come. At that point, Peter might be thinking, what in the world did I just do? We're here in the midst of a storm out in the sea, and I'm about to step out onto the water. This would be deadly. But he does, and he starts walking on the water. But the moment he sees the wind and the waves, he starts to drown, and he cries out, Lord, save me. I'm about to drown. And Jesus grabs him, and now they're back in the boat. Well, we know the story. We know the illustration. But what we have to determine in our own lives is not to focus on the waves. Yeah, but the waves are intense. The boat's rocking. I know. But you don't know what's going on in my family. I know it could be really intense. You go through those dark days, those difficult times, those heavy, heavy times when it just seems like all hell's breaking loose against you. When it just seems like, what can you say? It is over, or we're not going to make it. Not just one bad report, but sometimes two or three or four. You get a hit with a devastating blow from the health side of things. And then a devastating blow in maybe job security. And then a devastating blow relationally. And you're reeling. And sometimes just the news around us in the society is overwhelming. It's bad news, bad news, bad news. When a hurricane was sweeping through Long Island in 1985, in those days we didn't have a TV in the house. Just by choice, as we were raising our girls, we had periods of good numbers of years where we chose not to have a TV in the house. And so we're listening on the radio to the reports about the news and reports about the hurricane coming. And the reports are pretty dire. That's now here, it's running through here, and this is happening and that's happening. I remember older daughter Jen, who was a little girl, and saying, why are we listening to the news? It's just bad news. Well, no problem. Soon enough, power's out, trees falling, house being smashed, hit, and amazingly protected from serious damage. But it was like bombs went off when we went outside. It was unreal to see the damage that was done in such a short period of time. Sometimes that's just how the news is all around us. Yesterday, as Governor Pence of Indiana was holding a news conference, and in certain ways seemed like he was backing down to the crazy pressure that came against him, the extraordinarily misleading pressure that came against him in the state of Indiana, the onslaught of lies that came against him, the mischaracterizations that came against him and his state, and seemed to be on some level caving in to the lies and the pressure. And I'm getting flooded with emails from different conservative leaders and, just in a group. So, each one writing, we're all getting the updates and things going on. It's so easy to just feel harassed all around you. You got to keep your head above the details. Now, I'm going to tell you how. When we come back, I'm going to tell you how to keep your head above the details. But this is really important. You want to maintain an attitude of faith. It's not that you can't look at the thing, but you can't focus on it. You've got to determine to keep your head above that, because there is a higher reality ultimately to take hold of. Okay, let's just see. Yeah, exciting announcement. As we thought about doing something special this week, celebrating the death and resurrection of Jesus, celebrating Passover as we enter into that season, we are once again offering the Tree of Life Bible, the family edition, beautifully produced, handcrafted, and a great translation with beautiful artwork in it. Friends who received it said it exceeded their expectations. When you order it this week, we're paying the postage, but also giving you a free DVD, maybe the most classic of all the debates I've done with my friend Rabbi Shmuley, Who Really Killed Jesus? We'll send you that free and pay the postage. So call to order as many copies as you want, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978, or go to our website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. When you go there, just click on the video right on the homepage to find out more about this Bible. 1-800-278-9978.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the line of fire, 866-34-TRUTH. How do we keep our head above the water? How do we walk in faith without walking in denial? Faith is not denial. Faith is belief in a higher reality and a higher truth. If, for example, someone gave me a report based on limited information, all right, and then someone else gave me another report based on accurate information, I would rightly believe the more accurate report, correct? How many times have you heard that? You know, something's going on and you get one news report, but it's only part of the story. Or you get a partial report from someone who doesn't know the whole story, and then their supervisor weighs in and says, no, here's the whole story. Oh, good. Now we've got the whole story. So I'm putting my faith and confidence in the whole story. I'm putting my faith and confidence in what God has to say, because he alone has the ultimate perspective. So you want to walk in faith and victory, maintain a positive attitude in the midst of chaos all around us. And the world's been in chaos in many ways since Adam fell. We understand that. First, you keep your head above the details. You don't focus on the wind. You don't focus on the waves. You know they're there. You understand they're there. You don't deny them. Let me say it again. Faith is not denial. But you keep your head above the details. You say, well, how? Because the details are surrounding me. Because the pain in my body is surrounding me. Because the crisis in my family is surrounding me. Because the economic difficulties are surrounding me. Because I can't get away from these things. Ah, what do? Step number two. Remember, I live in the same world you do. And I may not have gone through exactly what you've gone through, but I've gone through some things. And my wife Nancy's gone through some things. And as a family, we've gone through some things. And I could recount some pretty rough seasons we've had that might rival some pretty rough seasons you've had. And forget my life. We have good friends who've lost children. We have good friends who've been through tremendous hardship, and they're still following the Lord and loving Jesus. God's promises are true. God is able to keep what he said he would keep. So how do you keep your head above the details? Well, that's point number two. You stay in the Spirit. How do you stay in the Spirit? Through prayer, worship, and the Word. Now, I know we all know this, but to practice it is another thing. You make a conscious determination. I am going to get my head above the clouds. You make a conscious determination. I am going to get on higher ground. I heard a story once about a boat that was going through fog and dangerous waters, and it was going rapidly. The captain was way up in his perch and controlling things from there, and the people on the level of the boat just saw the thick fog that completely surrounded them, and they were petrified. This boat had not slowed down because of the fog. It had not slowed down at all. And they knew this guy must have some kind of death wish, or he's drunk or something, but this boat's about to crash any second because we can't see where we're going, and he's plowing ahead. So they finally said, someone's got to climb up this ladder there and tell this madman to slow down. And when they got to the top of the ladder where the captain was perched, it was perfectly clear. You could see way, way, way beyond the fog. That's what happens when we begin to worship. We determine, I'm going to worship God. I'm going to praise God. I'm going to take out the Bible. I'm going to meditate on Scripture. I'm going to speak the Word out loud. I'm going to cast every care, every anxiety on the Lord. I'm going to pray in the Spirit. As you do those things, you begin to rise above all the harassment, all the demonic lies, all the junk that's happened. You begin to rise higher in faith, in the Spirit. Your perspective begins to change. The air becomes much clearer all around you. A whole lot more to come. Stay with me.
Fire we please, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It was just about this time yesterday that our power went out in our engineering studio in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. I'm in another part of the country, and then the satellite dish that transmits things around the country, around the world, is also another part of the country that's in Dallas, Texas. But our power went out in the engineering studio. I was notified, and then the backup battery went out at a certain point because it's powering a whole bunch of things. It only has a certain life. The last 10 minutes of the show, you would have been transferred suddenly to another show, and I was sitting here literally doing my radio show all by my lonesome. What I mean is that there's nobody to hear me because it wasn't being transmitted anywhere. Some of the best broadcasts we ever, no, it's just our normal, hopefully, good quality stuff. So my apologies if you wondered what happened to the last 10 minutes yesterday. Our profound apologies, but power just went out. It was a strange power outage. All right, so how do you stay in faith and victory? How do you maintain a genuine spiritual optimism? How do you maintain confidence when all hell's breaking loose against you, or when it seems the world is going mad, or when all the news seems to be bad news? Number one, you keep your head above the details. You know the waves are out there, but you do not focus on them. So how do you do that? Number two, you stay in the Spirit. How do you stay in the Spirit? Through prayer, worship, and the Word. You pray in the Spirit. You meditate on what the Word says. You speak it out. You say, yeah, if it feels, you fight against the oppression. You make active choices. You don't give in to the negative, hopeless mindset. You worship, and praise and adoration. Number three, remember the final outcome. Remember the final outcome. I know it's trite. I don't like the expression. You know, I read the end of the book, we win, only because it seems trite sometimes. But it's very true. It is very true. Here's all I need to know. There's only one truth I need to know to have faith. I'm quite serious about this. Now there are two or three or four I could mention that are equally fundamental. But I'm just going to mention this one. This is all I need to know. I don't need to know what the medical outcome of a crisis is going to be. I don't need to know what the outcome of an election is going to be. I don't need to know anything that's going to happen pertaining to my own life, good or bad. I don't need to know any of that to have faith or confidence. I only need to know one thing and one thing only. Jesus is risen from the dead and is Lord of all. That's all I need to know. That is all I need to know. Everything else now is settled. Everything else is settled. That is the fundamental issue. That is the fundamental truth. That not only did he die for our sins, but we know that he died for our sins because he rose from the dead and ascended to the right hand of the Father, and all authority in heaven and earth is his. That's all I need to know. It doesn't matter which way the elections go next. It doesn't matter if the world goes mad against Israel. It doesn't matter if people throw truth to the side in our society. It doesn't matter if Christian leaders compromise. Oh, all of it matters. All of it matters in terms of consequences could be terrible. All of it matters in terms of bad news. All of it matters in terms of lives are hurt. But ultimately, my attitude is one of confidence because Jesus rose. Because there's light. One way or another, there is light at the end of the tunnel. One way or another, there's light in the midst of the tunnel. One way or another, I have to have an attitude of absolute confidence. In other words, I'm reading a long book. Not talking about the Bible now, just metaphor. I'm reading a long book. There are a lot of chapters in the book. Some of the chapters have bad endings. Some of the chapters have bad endings. But ultimately, there's a wonderful, happy ending at the end. Ultimately, there is a glorious ending at the end, and that's all I need to know. And that glorious ending is guaranteed because Jesus rose from the dead. It's that simple. And he is Lord of all. Look, Psalm 88, begins with, O Lord God of my salvation, I cry out day and night before you. Verse 3, my soul is full of troubles. My life draws near to Sheol, to the grave. I'm counted among those who go down to the pit. I'm a man who has no strength, like one set loose among the dead. Verse 6, you've put me in the depths of the pit. Verse 7, your wrath lies heavy upon me. Verse 8, you've caused my companions to shun me. Verse 9, my eye grows dim through sorrow. I'm quoting the beginning of each verse. Verse 13, but I, O Lord, cry to you. Verse 14, O Lord, why do you cast my soul away? Verse 15, afflicted and close to death from my youth up, I suffer your terrors, I'm helpless. Verse 16, your wrath has swept over me, your dreadful assaults destroy me. Verse 17, they surround me like a flood all day long, they close in on me together. Verse 18, you've caused my beloved and my friend to shun me. My companions have become darkness. Okay, now where's the victory? There isn't. That's the end of the psalm. Yeah. That's the end of the psalm. I would say the darkest psalm out of the 150. Because that's the end of the psalm. That is the end of the psalm. Darkness is my closest friend, basically, is the way it ends. So in other words, there may be a chapter in your life that ends with difficulty and pain. And that's the close of that chapter. Psalm 89, verse 1. I will sing of the steadfast love of the Lord forever with my mouth. I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. For I said, steadfast love will be built up forever. In the heavens you will establish your faithfulness. You have said, I've made a covenant. It goes on from there. And it's a psalm of exaltation. It's a psalm of exaltation. Exaltation and exaltation. It's a psalm of joy. It's a psalm of celebrating the kingship of David, God's anointed one, and in that sense, a precursor to the promises to the Messianic King Jesus, Yeshua. And it ends with, blessed be the Lord forever. Amen and amen. And it's a much longer psalm. It's 52 verses long, whereas the previous psalm was a matter of 18 verses. In other words, darkness, weeping, pain, may spend the night, but joy comes in the morning. And there is evening, there is morning. Morning comes after evening. So the light will shine. The light will shine. So how do you stay in faith and victory in the midst of all the problems in the world? Number one, you keep your head above the details. There are waves, there's wind around you, but you look beyond that to keep your eyes on Jesus. Number two, you stay in the Spirit. How do you do that? Prayer, worship, the Word. Number three, you remember the final outcome. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is risen. That is the ultimate hope that we live by 24/7. Ultimately, looking back from the perspective of eternity, we'll say all is well. It is well with my soul. And then number four, testify. Put yourself in remembrance. Let me say it again. Testify. Put yourself in remembrance. Be in a position of celebration. You say, I don't feel like it. Right now, I want to talk about what's wrong. Is that going to help? Okay, we know the problem now. Now we understand the problem. No one's denying the problem. Sometimes people come in for counseling and they just want to convince you of how bad the situation is. Like, okay, I know it's really bad. No, you don't know how bad mine is. Mine is the worst ever. Okay, we know it's really bad. We know and understand. We're not denying that. We're not downplaying that. We recognize that. But now let's go back and remember 6 years ago you went through that crisis. Remember God delivered you? Remember how you sat here and wept and said there's no hope and God's abandoned me? And then a week later, we were laughing for joy and hugging each other and celebrating and saying, who could believe what God did? I never could have believed I'd be smiling again. Hey, remember that? Remember that? That's why it's good to journal. That's why it's good to journal answers. That's why it's good to journal when God does something. That's why it's good to testify. I've been in meetings many times and knew that God moved powerfully, but had no clue how powerfully he moved. Not the slightest clue how dramatically lives were changed. Until I started hearing testimonies, sometimes that night, sometimes a month later, sometimes a year later. And the more you hear, now faith is built. Suddenly people are believing that hadn't believed before. There is great, great power to it. share good news with one another. Share good reports with one another. Talk about times when it seemed hopeless. Look, in my new book, Outlasting the Gay Revolution, I mean, I wish it was out today, but we're trusting God's providential timing when it comes out in September. But as I think about it, in the book, one of the chapters is factor in the God factor. One of the eight principles for long-term cultural change is factor in the God factor. And in that, I describe how there were times in American history when it looked very bleak, and times when the pollsters got things totally wrong and the headlines got things totally wrong in terms of looks a certain way today, but sure didn't project what was coming tomorrow. And God acted in amazing ways. Let's put ourselves in remembrance. I'll be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the Line of Fire. I want to proclaim again, Jesus is risen, Jesus is Lord, and that's all I need to know to walk in faith, to walk in confidence, to walk in hope. Even if everything around me collapsed, ultimately, I know the truth of God and His Word, and that can sustain you and me through anything. So I've been talking about how to walk in an attitude of faith. Again, if you're just tuning in now and you were listening yesterday, suddenly you were listening to an old broadcast, it's because there was a complete power outage that knocked out all systems in our engineering studio. And even though I was broadcasting and in our radio studio, which is in another location, you weren't hearing it. Unless you had ears in the spirit, you weren't hearing it. At a certain point, I realized, stop talking. It's not broadcasting. I did for a few minutes just in case, then got a definitive word that it wasn't. But again, our apologies for that. One of those unavoidable things that just happened. And in what, 7 years of daily radio broadcasting, I don't quite remember something like that happening before. Well, we've had, I remember once there was a fire in the building where it was, we had to get out of the building. And then I realized, wait, I can call them by cell phone. So I finished the show outside the building on the cell phone describing what was happening inside. It was a minor electrical fire. Anyway, so how do you walk in faith and victory in the midst of chaos, in the midst of moral collapse, in the midst of compromise in the church, in the midst of lots of bad news, in the midst of misinformation and mischaracterization and all kinds of other things? How do you do it? Well, you keep your head above the details. How do you do that? By staying in the Spirit, by praying in the Spirit, by worshiping, singing praises, honoring the Lord, by holding to the truth of the Word, meditating on it, speaking it, reminding yourself of what God has said. Then you remember the final outcome. You remember that Jesus has risen. You remember that all authority in heaven and earth is given to Him, that He is Lord. And that what may seem like the end of the world, what may seem like absolute hopelessness, what may seem like a massive chaos, is still only temporary. It's not the final verdict. It's not the final story. And ultimately, it's the end of the story. It's the final score in the game, so to say, that matters most. And then testify. Put yourself in remembrance. Remind yourself of what God has done in the past. Remind others of what He's done in the past. And hopefully, it's not only speaking about what He's done in Scripture, but also what He's done in their own life, how He's delivered, how He's helped, how He's answered prayer, how He's turned a hopeless situation around. And then next, and if you missed any of these, it's all on Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, and you'll be able later today to listen to the entire broadcast. And it's free, askdrbrown.org, a couple hours after the show. It's up and ready for you. Don't be moved from what's right. If you want to stay in an attitude of faith and victory, don't be moved by changes in opinion. Don't be moved by emotions. Don't be moved by the latest thing that's trending or that's in or that's out. Don't be moved by that. Instead, determine, okay, I'm going to do what's right regardless. You see, if you can be easily moved from your position, then you can be easily moved from faith. If you can be easily moved from what's right, you can be easily moved from confidence in God. If you can be easily moved from what's right, then you become double-minded. And the whole key to walking in faith is to persevere, because when you stand for what's right, you ultimately see God's vindication. When you stand for what's right, you ultimately see God's backing. But if you back away, if you back away from what's right, then you don't see it to its conclusion. Ah, see, that proves it wasn't going to happen. No, it proves you didn't see it to the end. See what I'm saying? And then lastly, remember that God is working. He's not sitting idly by. As people spread lies and falsehood, he's not sitting idly by. Romans 8:28 remains true. In all things, God is working for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Or all things are working together for the good. This is a matter of different texts. The overall sense from the Greek remains absolutely clear. God's at work, not only to conform us to the image of his Son, but to carry out his work in the world. And what Satan and circumstances and people and the world may mean for evil, God can and will turn for good. What is intended to be a stumbling block or a death blow can become a stepping stone. You think of a David and Goliath situation that looks so bad for Israel. It ends up being an opportunity for God to be glorified, the God of Israel to be glorified, and for David to be raised up. And what looked like the greatest disaster and the greatest bad ending in the history of the human race, the crucifixion of the Son of God, it's over, he's dead, it's not going to happen. There is no redemption, there is no redeemer, there is no God. It's all a myth. He rises from the dead. The greatest act of human betrayal against God, human beings handing the Son of God over to be crucified, ends up the very way that God redeems us. Oh, so remember, God's at work. Even when you don't see it, even when you don't feel it, he's at work. And if you'll throw yourself on him and worship him and honor him and entrust your life to him, you'll be amazed to see what he does. Friends, can I encourage you, if you love the word, to get hold of the Tree of Life Bible? We are now, especially this week, as we enter the Passover season in the coming days, as we celebrate Messiah's death and resurrection, we wanted to make this available again. It was so popular, we extended this by popular demand. But here's what we're doing. It is the beautiful family edition. It is made for desktop. Of course, you can carry it with you. It's a beautiful big Bible with engraving on the front and back with Hebrew words and text on the back, and Tree of Life Bible on the front. And beautiful artwork inside. And of course, best of all, it's the Tree of Life version with messianic sensitivities, Messiah instead of Christ, Miriam instead of Mary, and things like that. But utterly, totally readable. Beautiful edition. When you order it this week, we're paying the postage plus giving you free a $20 DVD. Perhaps the most famous debate I've ever done with Rabbi Shmuley, standing room only at the Hilton Hotel, covered by the secular media. HBO even put it in part of a documentary they did. It is called Who Really Killed Jesus? What a great theme. Right before Mel Gibson's Passion of the Christ movie came out, Who Really Killed Jesus? We'll give you that DVD free and pay the postage on everything. If you call today, 1-800-278-9978, you can order as many of these packages as you like. 1-800-278-9978. Once more, that's 1-800-278-9978. Or go to the website. Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. And when you're there, just click on the homepage. You can find out more about the Bible. Watch a video where we tell you more. My bottom line today, is there chaos all around us? Yes. Are there people that hate us all around us? Yes. Is the devil real? Yes. But what really matters is that Jesus is risen and Jesus is Lord. And that settles it.